Hi, hello, and welcome to the Sex Sells Podcast. This is your host, Eliza, and if you're new here, this is a podcast about sex, relationships, psychology, and society. So I'm having one of those days where everything is not going my way, and I just recorded 40 minutes of a podcast, and it turns out my SD card was full, so it has gone to waste. And I kind of just like not in the mood to talk about all those things again. So I'll see what comes up. I'm just going to do a chit chat now. I'm just going to come to top of mind. There are a few elements that I want to touch on and talk about and themes that have been coming up for me. So maybe it's a sign for the universe that this is the podcast I need to be doing instead of what I was doing. So yeah, and not only that, just before I recorded, I dropped an entire coffee freshly made all over Adrian's computer, and it went in every single electronic cord or device that you could possibly imagine. It's gone there. Whatever, it is what it is. So I think that what I want to talk about now is something that I've been reflecting on a lot lately, especially recently, and that is talking about the comfort zone and the need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable, because we avoid being uncomfortable in every single way that we possibly can. In fact, it's a very ancient survival mechanism that we developed in our hunting and gathering day to avoid, it would give us a desire to go back to the tribe, go back to our huts, stay with a group of people, use weapons, or anything that we're more comfortable with. It would tell us, do what you know is safe, because what you know and what you're comfortable with has what has led you to your survival up until this point. So it is really ingrained in us to stay within our comfort zone and to continuously repeat what we do, because that is what makes us survive. And although we don't have lions and shit chasing after us anymore in this day and age, our body is perceiving us to be under constant threat because we have such high levels of anxiety with the technology use, emails, work, bosses, mortgages, rent, rental crisis, financial crisis, everything imaginable. There is so much stress on us at the moment that our body is pushing us further and further into the comfort zone. Repeat what you know. Do what you do that is safe and comfortable. And our comfort zones are decreasing in size drastically and drastically as years go on. And the kids I've worked with in the last decade are so afraid of doing things that are really, really simple, like arranging a doctor's appointment or ordering a coffee. Really afraid of doing that. And what is ironic about this, though, is that the things that that generation is really comfortable was are the things that were outside of my comfort zone. So I'll get into that. So a little bit about why I've kind of gone into this is I have talked about this a little bit briefly on podcasts over the years, and I am someone that has always felt that I can easily and readily expand my comfort zone, and that I have I'm comfortable stepping outside of it, and I'm pretty confident in doing so. And it wasn't until the last few weeks that I've really had to do some unpacking and deep reflection of myself and realized that I actually have been avoiding things that are outside of my comfort zone, and I have not been, you know, doing what I preach, and I was misguiding or placating myself or convincing myself that I was outside the comfort zone because I'm a confident person, and doing things that most people would find uncomfortable, I have found comfortable because I'm confident in doing those things, or I feel like maybe my comfort zone is generally larger than most people's. But there have been a few things coming up the last few weeks that I've been like, shit, you know what? This is actually well out of my comfort zone, and it's taught me a lot about myself. And also, you know, I kind of want to impart some of this knowledge onto you guys. So And not just knowledge, also just reflections, etc. as well. And we'll get into it, basically. So the reason this came up to me, this actually started at, these thoughts started at my wedding, which is in, which is basically exactly 3 months ago, is December, and the very start of December. And if you remember me talking about how the wedding went, I kind of reflected on, I didn't actually have that most magical night of my entire life experience that I was anticipating. I was calm. I didn't get nervous at all. I was excited-ish, I guess. Like, I felt really good about it, and excited to marry Adrian, but not like jumping off my like chair with like, get me to my wedding kind of level of excitement, like the partying type. I just felt like I was going with it. I was happy and crazy. But when I was there on the wedding night, there were so many times throughout my wedding that I actually felt a lot of anxiety about other people. Like, why aren't people doing this? Or are people judging me because of this, etc.? And just not actually liking that this was all about me. And I felt like I had sole responsibility for everyone's experience at my wedding. And this is really interesting and for me to reflect on, because I'm no stranger to being maybe the most extroverted in the group, or initiating all the conversation or games or catch-ups and events. That has never been out of my comfort zone. I'm fine and love talking to strangers and back in the day going out and dancing and whatever. But there was just something about my wedding that I was like, felt so many insecurities coming to the surface. And I also think that, you know, I then later found out that I was in the very early stages of my pregnancy then. And that was the first thing I felt as well when I was pregnant the first time with Remy, was major, major irrational insecurities. And it's so funny. Like, I used to dream, I don't have these dreams anymore, but when I was pregnant with Remy, I had constant dreams about Adrian leaving me, cheating on me, or anything like that. And he has never, ever done one millimeter of a betrayal towards me. He has never given, there's never been a red flag. There's never been a situation come up. I've never caught him out on anything. But all of a sudden, I was just fixated on it. And the reason is because when you're pregnant, this is actually a known thing where you feel really vulnerable and you're relying on that person to be the person that provides for you and gives you resources and provides your safety and comfort or whatever. So you don't want to lose them. You want them to stay with you. So that was how my insecurities were presenting themselves occasionally with Remy. This time, I don't know, actually. I haven't thought about it too much. Second pregnancy is much easier, probably because I'm so distracted with Remy and I'm so busy right now. I actually haven't thought about it. It's been so much more smooth sailing, and just hormonally I feel very different than I did in my first pregnancy. Maybe it's a girl versus boy thing. Anyway, it's interesting. I've completely forgotten what my point was with that story. But my wedding, I was feeling insecure, basically. And then it came to launching my business, therapeutic coaching. And there were elements of anxiety and insecurity around that. And I had to really dig deep, being like, what is it that I'm actually anxious about? Because I know that 5 years ago, I actually studied this and did all my qualifications in my early 20s. And when I started it then, and I was seeing some clients and things were successful, but I had a couple of comments from women about, or prospective clients, about being too young and having my knowledge and expertise dismissed because of my age. This is back then, like 7 years ago. And now I look back and I actually think, kind of fair enough. I would probably do the same. And it happened to me again when I then was like, you know what, maybe it's too early. I'll go and study another degree. I'll go and do relationship counseling. And I did that. And throughout that course, if you're a high achiever and you do really well, you succeed in it academically, you can go on to counsel couples and families within that actual organization. And I was at the point of getting to that. I was a high achiever. I did extremely well academically. I did extremely well in all the pracs, working with couples, etc. However, when it came to going through their organization, the professor said to me, Eliza, you're so natural. You're so good at this, but I just can't put you in front of our clients because you won't get taken seriously because of your age. I'm so sorry. And that was a major, major point of insecurity for me for a really, really long time. And I put off all my dreams for years in my life, as in the grand scheme of things, it was only a few years. But I put off all my dreams because it had been a recurring theme and I was wildly insecure about it, even though I was confident in my abilities. So I always said, you know what, in my 20s, I will throw myself into working for the community and not for profits. And I have truly felt like I have thrown myself into that. And it's been a massive benefit. I've been really, really challenged at times, and I've met the vast majority of personalities. I have worked with literally hundreds of couples, families, and children over the last decade of working, and feel like, you know, working in low socioeconomic areas or working with, you know, people that experience violence and major child protection issues and investigations, working within the courts, etc., has really given me experience that I think is super beneficial to me now. And my work and dedication was also acknowledged and rewarded consistently. Like, I won a few awards. I won a local woman award. I won a local hero award. Won some awards at work as well. And I knew I was really good at my job. And I kept saying, you know what, like, I did love it and I put everything of me into it. But I said, when I'm 30, I will be working for myself. That's always been my goal. And up until that point of reaching 30, I have worked, I have studied, I have got more and more and more trainings and qualifications under my belt. So when I launched this business, I only launched like a week ago, and I noticed feelings of insecurity and embarrassment or cringe and discomfort coming up. And I was reflecting on it thinking, Where is this coming from? Because it is no longer about my age. The last few years I have been, prior to being on maternity leave with Remy, but I was a manager and I was training therapeutic workers and managing a team of, you know, some people in my team were 20 years older than me. It wasn't about my age anymore, and it wasn't about my experience. It wasn't about my academic, you know, how much I've studied. And I was like, what's going on here? Why am I feeling so insecure about launching this? Because I've worked over 10 years in this field of work. I know working with individuals, clients, couples, and children like the back of my hand. I've also had over 8 years of academic study and degrees, and probably more when you take into account all of the short-term qualifications I got after that as well. Probably 10 years of academic research and studies. And how many more people are qualified than me at this point to be a coach? Many majority of coaches have never had prior academic experience. What is it about it that's making me feel uncomfortable? And it took me a really, really long time to realize this. And it only dawned on me. I have two accounts. I have my Eliza Joy Therapeutic Coaching account, which you guys follow and interact with me on. And I also have a personal Instagram account for friends and families or whatever. And I realized I have never on my personal Instagram account even mentioned that I have a podcast. I haven't even mentioned that I launched a business. I didn't mention anything. I didn't mention anything I've studied or what I do for work. And I've realized recently that I have a major issue promoting myself. And despite having a lot of confidence, I have a really high self-esteem in a healthy way, by the way. I just feel and felt so uncomfortable promoting me. And I haven't quite got to the root of that yet. I'm still working through it, but my inkling, what I've got so far, is that I believe it's because I hold such high morals and pride and respect for people that are humble. And throughout my life, I have always disliked or cringed at people that I felt were not humble, and I've never been attracted to a man or whatever that I feel is not humble. I have broken up with partners because I felt that they were not humble enough. And I know that I've always known that that is a projection of myself, and that has been an insecurity of mine that, oh, I went to a party and I was talking to everyone, I was going around, I was sharing funny stories, everyone was laughing, blah, 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 blah. But then leaving the party being like, oh my God, how much of that party did I just dominate there? Like, how much of that circle did I just talk? And thinking like, that is such a turn off. So it is a projection. It's something I find as a turn off in others, because it's probably something that I don't like within myself that I do at times. So I think that promoting myself was the biggest like feeling of, this isn't humble, but here's what I do. Check it out. You can check out my podcast. It's been going on for 3 years, by the way. So yeah, I remember at my wedding, my brothers are my MCs, and all of their like jokes and stuff were quotes from my podcast that I had said, but it seemed really out of context because no one knew that I had a podcast. Only maybe 12 people knew. So it's funny. I put it on my personal Instagram story now. It was not scary at all. It was completely fine. But yeah, I realized it was the self-promotion aspect that feels uncomfortable. And it's still something that I've like, even though I've been like, well, I've done it. I've stepped out of my comfort zone. I put my website up on my Instagram account to my podcast listeners, and I've got clients booked in. I'm already working with clients. It's going really well, blah, blah, blah. I still am not promoting myself nearly to the level that I think that I should be. And because I've put my website on my Instagram story 2 times, you know, that is not this level of self-promotion that needs to be happening when you're trying to, you know, when you've launched a business and you're getting clients. And I'm going to be getting that. Don't worry, I'm getting to it. But another big thing for me related to that was, even though I have been podcasting for 3 years, and even though at the start with Neil and I, we were recording them with video as well and putting them on YouTube, that's never been out of my comfort zone, aside from the first one where I was awkward as fuck because Neil told me to look in the camera so I'm staring, and someone coming and saying, why is she staring into my soul the whole like hour and a half? I learned my lesson very fast. Do not look directly in the camera, or do not be the only person looking directly in the camera when you're doing a chit chat with someone. But aside from that, it's always been in my comfort zone. It's always been comfortable, but it was something about talking into a camera to an audience, which I don't know, and I still don't know what it is, because I guess I'm doing that right now. I'm not talking to a camera, I'm looking out a window. But yeah, I just have always been really uncomfortable putting myself on my Instagram, or God forbid, I put myself on TikTok, the worst of my comfort zone. And this is the element of my comfort zone that I feel uncomfortable with. And I did it. I made a reel. If you follow me on Instagram, Eliza Joy Therapeutic Coaching, you'll have seen my reel, and it was 8 or 10, or I don't know, but like however many ways, reasons that you struggle to implement boundaries. And it was fine. Once I uploaded it, I didn't even care. I didn't even look at it again. Like, that was done. And then I made a couple of videos on my TikTok, and my worst nightmare, as in the part that I was fearing the most as well, came true, where this is a bit controversial, but I made a video and it didn't go, they like barely had any interaction, so it's not like a big thing. It had like 100 likes. And I was talking about how one thing that I struggle with is when men often ask me, based on, you know, having a degree in counseling and behavioral science, sexology, life coaching, and relationship counseling, I always get asked, what do women want? And when a woman tells a man, this is what women want, they're like, nah, 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 this is what they want. They don't want that. And I said that I find it kind of funny that men feel frustrated when we communicate what we want, but don't listen to what women are saying they actually want. And every single comment was like, women want this, or women don't know what they want, and all they want is men with cars and blah, 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 to the point where TikTok literally contacted me saying they feel that I've been bullied and harassed, which is really funny. And I was like, okay, so my biggest fear with uploading onto TikTok was that I would have a video that would be responded to negatively and not feel like, oh, I didn't give expert advice here. I didn't give top tier advice that everyone is like, I feel like I would only put information out on my Instagram and TikTok that I feel like 100% of people will resonate with this. And I just got to let that go. I really just had to move on from that. And anyway, I uploaded it and a few others. The other ones had positive feedback and this one was controversial. It had 90% male viewers, which is probably the reason why. And it was fine. I literally laughed about it. I thought it was funny because I said to someone, like, you know, they really, like, with all these comments they left, it's like they ran straight into the point I was trying to make, but then kept running. Like, you just proved exactly what I was saying. So it's funny. Anyway, that was the moral of the story is put yourself out in the comfort zone. Oh, and I'll link this back to how when I work with young people is that is the one thing that they're not afraid to do is be super vulnerable, so be super open on the internet. And I even saw the day I was uploading videos, I saw a TikTok that like a 14-year-old girl had made. And she was like, one thing I don't understand is why people feel awkward or uncomfortable putting videos of themselves on their social media. Like, it's my social media. You're on my page. I'll do what I want. And I was like, that is a fucking good perspective. That is so true. Like, why do I have like, oh, if I upload something on here, it has to be perfect. Yet meanwhile, I have podcasts that I talk for hours and any thought that enters my head, I just say. And there's been so many times where I'm like, shouldn't have said that, but I can't be fucked to edit it out. So I'm just going to keep it in. And felt fine with that. So yeah, basically that was a very long introduction into the comfort zone, but there are a few factors why we really, really have a strong desire to stay in our comfort zone. First of all, we fear the unknown and we're naturally wired to fear uncertainty, like I was saying, and the unknown, and venturing out of our comfort zone means facing unfamiliar situations, which for most people or a lot of people triggers anxiety or fear. The other reason is where we have a lot of risk aversion, and some people have very, very high amounts of risk aversion, and we prefer to avoid risk and uncertainty because we don't know the outcome. If we can't guarantee what the outcome is, that is something that can give and trigger anxiety within people. And staying within the comfort zone provides that sense of security and familiarity and therefore reduces the perceived risk associated with new experiences. Another reason is maintaining stability. We just want to feel in control. We just want to be stable. Fair enough. Our routines and habits, of course, like we continuously repeat the same routine, the same habit. Like I said before, we're creatures of habit, and we always gravitate towards situations and behaviors that are familiar and predictable. Self-preservation, that we have that innate drive to protect ourselves from harm, like I said, whether it be physical or psychological. We always want to prevent ourselves from things that are going to make us feel uncomfortable. Easy. And finally, perceived effort versus reward. So when we venture outside of the comfort zone, it often requires effort. So they might be learning a new skill, adapting to new environments, or facing new challenges. And people weigh the perceived effort that is required against the potential rewards of leaving their comfort zone. And for many, the perceived benefit does not outweigh the perceived cost. So I think about like Adrian, where his comfort zone is at home, being antisocial. And sometimes when we have event. He used to have a lot of social anxiety, and now he doesn't have social anxiety, at least to that level. But he, if we're going out to a party, we're going out to see friends, sometimes he's like, I don't want to, I just want to stay home. And he is someone that immediately satisfies those, you know, whims that he's like, well, I don't feel like it, so I'm not going to. And this is, I think, is a massive flaw within humans. is that we avoid discomfort at all levels, and we need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I experienced this myself recently, where, as you guys know, that you may or may not know, but in May last year, I did 75 hard and I walked 6 to 10 kilometers a day. I was working out, eating clean, blah, blah, blah. And I lost 10 kilos. It was a really good time in my life. Spent hours every day walking out about. I can't really do that now because I've got a toddler. He doesn't just like to sit in the pram anymore. But when it came to summer, I literally stopped walking and exercising. And the sole reason is I don't like being hot. But I can't go to a gym because I have to have Remy with me. But I don't like being hot, and it's been fucking hot. This whole summer has been so hot. And when there are days where it's cool, I'll go for a walk. But if it's hot, I'm not going because I don't like feeling hot. I don't like sweating. And I just thought, like, God, how stupid is that? I'm that avoidant of doing something that I know was really good for me and makes me feel comfortable, because I didn't like the feeling of being hot and sweaty. And then I look at my husband, who's works all day wearing long sleeve pants and long sleeve shirts, doing hard labor for hours on end in 35 degree heat last week, and is fine with that. And I call him like, oh my God, how was your day? It must be so hot. It must have been so bad. And he's like, it's fine. So yeah. It's so interesting how much we kind of just, when we don't want to do something or something feels uncomfortable, so we're like, nah, I'm not going to do it. But the more we increase stepping out of our comfort zone, the larger our comfort zone gets. And the larger our comfort zone gets, the more confidence we have, the more things we can participate in, the higher our self-esteem is. And also, one of the benefits of stepping outside of your comfort zone is that you can reflect on that and go back and say, I did this. I completed that so I can get through this. And that's something I experienced as well when I had a really traumatic birth, and it was fucking terrible. But I remember distinctly a few months after Remy was a few months old, I was sitting at a park. And I was like, I don't have any mum friends. I'm on the coast. I'm not working. I need to socialize. I'm looking at a mum in a park. And I thought to myself, if I can get through childbirth and getting feeling back in a C-section, I can approach a woman and make conversation and organize a play date. And I did. And now that increased my comfort zone. So something that I've stressed about and thought about for half an hour on that day, I literally make conversations with mum at the park fucking every day. I have so many women that I've met, I've got their numbers, I do play dates with, I have new friends because I just feel so comfortable doing so. In fact, one woman, she reached out to me in the early stages, and I spoke about her on our podcast. So when our babies were like 6 and 8 weeks old, or six, whatever, like we met, and she reached out to me saying, "Would you like coffee?" And I was like, "Yeah." And we are literally best friends now, and she was a bridesmaid at my wedding. So isn't that beautiful? Just put yourself out there. And if I was a bit more anxious, I probably would have been like, no, or whatever. But yeah, just increasing our comfort zone step by step is so essential. And I've spoken about this briefly before, and that is the idea of rejection therapy. And I said I want to do a podcast on it, and I still really do want to do a podcast on it because I'm really fascinated by this. But the idea of rejection therapy is that you go and put yourself out there with the idea of being rejected. You apply for 10 jobs that you don't feel qualified for. You approach that woman at the bar and ask her out. You do all those things that you know would typically lead to rejection, and you expect that outcome. And 9 times out of 10, you meet that outcome and you might get rejected. But 1 time out of 10, who knows what's going to come to you? Who knows what will come your way? And, you know, you might get that $30,000 pay rise that you thought you were super unqualified for. You might get that number that you never dreamt of having this girl that's so out of your league say yes to you. Put yourself out there more and more. If you expect the worst, that's okay. You don't have to, like, you know, pep talk yourself saying, oh, she'll say yes if I just do this, whatever. Expecting the worst sometimes is fine. You know, be like, you know what? There's a good chance I'm going to fall flat on my face or embarrass myself or get rejected. Like, who cares? Let's not put so much value onto it. Let's not hold that on a pedestal where we want to avoid that at all risk and just think this is a part of the human experience. I always remind myself this, that having, you know, the positive experiences as well as the negative experiences of life is part of being human. Okay, so I left again just after whatever the last thing I said was. I left because my child woke up. And I am jumping back in. It's a few hours later. I cannot remember where I left off. But I'm going to move on anyway and talk about why it is beneficial to us to leave our comfort zone. Why it's beneficial. So first of all, the personal growth. If we step outside the familiar boundaries, we challenge ourselves to learn and adapt. And isn't that just a fantastic skill to learn? Challenge and adapt. And that is something that I believe that a lot of people really, really struggle with. A lot of people struggle with change. A lot of people struggle with adapting to different environments, changes to the workplace. And I remember as a manager in my workplace, something I would pay attention to with my team is who do I know can cope well with change and who do I know can really struggle with change, because change was constantly happening. And it was a question I would always ask people. And that is an amazing thing, how people know I don't do well with change or I do well with change. It's something that they know very, very strongly about themselves. So when we learn and adapt, we have personal growth and development. So I believe that we need to be pushing ourselves every single day in every way to grow and develop personally, because I just know too many people that have ended up in their 50s and 60s, 70s, and they're so stuck in their ways. They lack so much awareness, so much, they still have low self-esteem. They have very, very narrow worldviews, and these people just aren't happy. They generally are unhappy, and it's not too late for them to change, but they have been so stuck in their ways for years. So I think that by learning to adapt and grow and have that personal development, we can overcome obstacles more. We can have new experience. We can foster resilience, which is especially essential in young people. If you are 25 and under, you likely are statistically less resilient than people that are older than you, in some ways more resilient, but overall less resilient, and especially to, of what we're talking about. So this is especially important for you. And also it increases your creativity and increases your problem-solving skills every time you just push yourself a little bit. Be an ally to yourself is basically what I'm saying. Not only that, it's going to increase your confidence. So when you can successfully navigate an unfamiliar situation and you overcome these challenges, you're going to be able to boost, you're going to be boosting your self-esteem and you're going to be boosting your self-confidence. And every experience that you have outside of your comfort zone is just going to further reinforce the belief that you're capable of handling adversity, achieving goals. When you put your mind to something, you can do it. So you will be changing the way you view yourself. You will be changing your self-perception. You will be increasing your self-esteem, which, by the way, I'm going to be getting into next week massively, because self-esteem has been really, really coming up. Like, I feel like comfort zone has been coming up for me in my personal life, but self-esteem has been really coming up for you guys in all your messages to me, clients reaching out to me and booking in with me. A lot of it has to do with self-esteem. So I'll be talking about that next week, probably, if I remember. I think I will. I think that it's obviously really a positive thing to have that increased confidence. And like I said, when you know you can do something and you get through that, the next time you do something, even if it's completely different, it's going to be easier. You're going to be like, I remember when I was even just a child and I had to do something, I would give myself a countdown. I'd be like 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, go. And I would not give myself a second chance. I thought I would have to go and order the food. I'd have to go and do this, whatever it was that made me uncomfortable. I had my countdown and then I went and did it. And that was it. I didn't have a choice. I was going to jump in the cold, freezing cold ocean, whatever. Once I got to zero, I go. And that is something that I literally have stuck with like my whole life. I've just been like, once I'm there, I'm not going to be sitting around putting self-doubt in, talking myself out of it, because your subconscious will find ways to talk yourself out of whatever it is that you are going to do or want to do in order to keep yourself comfortable and safe. And it is amazing what your brain can come up with. So beyond that, you get an expanded perspective. You develop a different way of thinking about yourself. You develop more skills within yourself. You have a broader worldview. You can enhance your tolerance, empathy, understanding, just a lot of more personal enrichment and deeper connections with others when you're more willing to put yourself out there and engage in these things. And I know a lot of people that are yes people. I don't know a lot. I know a few people that are yes people. And it is truly admirable. And every single week, they're going out for dinner with a stranger they met last week. They're trialing some new thing that random person they've met has talked to them about. They're traveling overseas with someone they've just met last week. Just amazing things that they can saying yes, I'll do that. Yes, why not? Or initiating that. And life has just led them on so many adventures. So I think that is a really beautiful element of this as well. And obviously, when you try new things and explore unfamiliar territory, you're also going to learn more and you're going to develop more skills within yourself, whether it's, you know, getting new knowledge or honing existing skills, discovering hidden talents. You're not going to know these things unless you leave the comfort zone. You're not going to know that, actually, maybe I am really good at talking to women at the bar unless you do it a few times and practice that. Or maybe it's you don't even know that you're actually really good at this job until you started promoting to your work and advocating for yourself. I should do the training on this and I should be paid accordingly. That's what I did. Adaptability. So in, you know, like I said before, if you can adapt in today's world, it's a very valuable trait. The world is changing so fast and so drastically. Every single day, new terrifying developments are coming out. You need to be able to adapt, is what I'm trying to say. Adaption and resilience are essential to cope in today's world. And there's a lot of stresses that are happening. There's a lot of things that put additional stress on us. And these are things that you can develop within yourself. And why wouldn't you? If it makes you feel better and it makes life literally easier for you, why wouldn't you? Please. you might further, like, and obviously one of the most important things as well is if you put yourself out of your comfort zone, you can literally achieve your goals and dreams. So you, for example, for me, my dream has always been for the last 15 years since I was in high school. Was I in high school 15 years ago? Yeah. Since I've been in high school, I was always had the dream. I will work privately for myself. I will see couples and people, individuals. I'll see families. I'll work, blah, 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 blah. This has literally always been my dream. And now I've had a business launch for a week, 8 days now when this comes out. And I've already had multiple paying clients. I've already set up like a schedule with everyone. I'm already feeling like I've living my life passion, and I'm fulfilling a dream of mine that I've had for so many years. And it literally just took me a couple of weeks of hurdles to get over. And that was it. And I had to get over the fact that I have to promote myself or whatever. And that's it. And I just think, God, that was really the simplest thing holding me back from achieving my goals. So simple. Like, what is holding you back? I would love to know. I genuinely would like to know. And finally, overcoming your fears and limitations. So when you step outside your comfort zone, you're going to be confronting your fears. You're going to be confronting those limitations that you have head on. And by gradually expanding your comfort zone through exposure and experience, you might be overcoming your phobias, insecurity, your self-imposed barriers that have been holding you back. So obviously I don't suggest re-exposing yourself to something if you have genuine phobia. If you have an anxiety about something, That's fine. I used to have a really big anxiety around birds, and self-exposure worked amazingly for me to do that. I used to have anxiety around, I was chronically shy and had major anxiety around talking to strangers. Exposure absolutely worked for me for that. The more I did it, the more comfortable I had. I have and have always had a genuine phobia of vomit. I do not know how I was blessed by God to have a child that has never vomited, but I have a huge phobia of vomit, and I have tried to expose myself to that, and that has not worked. So if it is a literal phobia, tread carefully with exposing yourself. But if it is just a major anxiety, a major fear, and a lot of emotions stem from that, and hesitation or whatever, go for it. Expose yourself to it. And if you want to tell me what your fear is, and I can help you find more gentle ways to expose yourself to that, I am more than happy to brainstorm that with you. So reach out to me. We can go through that together. And I would love to know like what your dreams are and what your goals are and what holds you back, because you just see, have you seen those videos on TikTok where people interview those that are like 60 or 70 and they say like, what do you regret the most in your life? And people say like, you know, I regret that I didn't travel. I regret that I was shy and I spent most of my time inside and reading books, and I was, you know, really introverted, and which is fine to be introverted, but saying no to things and closing yourself up from opportunities, and then being able to reflect on that at an older age and thinking like, if I could do it over again, I would do it differently, and I would just throw myself out there. I would say yes, and I would do this. Don't live your life in regret, because the thing is that you will never regret that you tried. Well, you probably won't regret that you tried, but you will absolutely regret not trying, and you will think about that for the rest of your life. And I knew that if I got offered a job recently, a really good job, a high-paying job for an organization, and I was very tempted, this is before I knew I was pregnant, I was very tempted to take it and return to work, but I knew if I did not take this time now, while I was on maternity leave, while I literally had the means to be on myself, I didn't have, like, before, every time I talked about working for myself, I would be like, well, I can't quit my full-time job, that's such a drastic change, and blah blah blah. I was like, if I don't have it, do it now, I will always have an excuse not to do it. I will always be like, well, I've started this new job, or well, I don't want to leave because I'm progressing in my career and I'm making really good money. So do it now. Get yourself out there. And ultimately, what I want to leave you with is that leaving your comfort zone is essential for personal development, fulfillment, and success. And I truly believe that you cannot develop personally without leaving your comfort zone. You cannot sit and journal and reflect and meditate on all the changes you want to make and then not go out and actually live those changes. You can't manifest that you will wake up confident and have high self-esteem or be able to chase your jobs without actually doing it. And one of the things, and this is something that I have definitely fallen into, whereas I have, as you know, I'm a very positive leaning person, and I've always felt that, you know, opportunities will land in my lap. and in many ways in my life, I feel like it has, like, say, Neil and I reaching out, I felt like that was like my dream. I've always wanted to do a podcast, and then I randomly meet a guy who was like, hey, let's do a podcast together. And that felt like an opportunity landing in my lap. But the reality is that when you're waiting for this opportunity, or you're waiting for like the love of your life or your dream career or whatever it is that you want to do, that opportunity is not going to fall in your lap, especially if your lap is just you sitting at home watching Married at First Sight on TV or whatever it is you're watching, thinking, I just got to wait, it'll come at the right time, or the universe will send it to me when I'm ready. Like, no, you got to go for it. You got to put yourself out there and jump towards it. And God, I feel so, I probably sound so hyped and so escalated right now. I'm feeling very passionate about this, clearly. Okay, I will end it on, how do we actually increase your comfort zone? So I like to imagine your current, you know, comfort zone is a small circle. How can we expand it bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger over time? Let's start small-ish. And you know what? I was going to say let's start small and set realistic goals, which I think are big positive. But I'm also not against you being like, fuck it, and jumping headfirst into something completely outlandish and random. You know, like just go for it if you want. Both are okay if you want to start small, expanding it, or if you want to jump first. Absolutely go for it. And the second tip I would give you is to challenge your negative thoughts. So remember that your subconscious is going to find ways to keep you in your comfort zone, and it is very, very convincing to the point that you might have literal psychosomatic feelings, like experiences. Like you might start feeling sick in your tummy or get a major headache or whatever it is when you plan to do it. Your body and your mind will find ways to keep you here and justify it, and it will make so much sense to you. But you have to push past that. You have to let go of that and keep going forward. Fulfill the promise. And one of my favorite sayings is all a man has is his word. So all you have is your word to yourself. So if you give yourself the word, I am going to be doing this, you better bloody do it. oh my God, it sounds so I sound like a man right now that's like on one of those rampage like motivational speakers. Oh, I hope this isn't cringe. Also, no, I would advise that you practice and are aware of like mindfulness or relaxation techniques, so that when you find yourself, you know, with a rushing heartbeat or major anxiety pushing through over something that it could be really simple. Like I spoke about this recently, I think in the last podcast or the one before, where I saw a girl talking about how she has an anxious attachment style, and her goal was to do grocery shopping on her own without her boyfriend or without checking with her boyfriend. And that was a huge, huge anxiety provoking step for her. It was way out of her comfort zone. And she did it, and she was really proud of herself. She was really happy. But sometimes the simplest task can be really, really anxiety provoking. So you need to know, how can you calm yourself down when this happens? How can you manage those feelings of discomfort when you step outside your comfort zone? And what methods can you put in place? If you need help with that, message me. I can help you. Also, embrace failure as a learning opportunity. I came across a quote today. Oh, can I remember it? Fuck. It was so good as well, and now I can't remember it. Every part of your story will be used. It's like that. It's so few words. I don't know how I didn't remember that. Every part of your story will be used. So your failures, your delays, your setbacks, every part of your story, I'm just going to say it 10 times till it sinks in, but it will be used. It will be part of your greater story. It will have an influence on you, your personality, your development. It was meant to happen. You're meant to go through this. You either learned something. My other favorite saying is everything is a lesson or a blessing. So you've either learned something from it or you've got something from it. So embrace the failure. If you fail, it's a great learning opportunity, and that is a positive perspective that you can put on it. And that's kind of links back to the challenging your negative thoughts. If you do something and you fail or you get rejected or you get embarrassed, you're going to think, fuck this, I shouldn't have done this. As Eliza bitch, like giving the worst advice I've ever heard in my life. Just challenge that negative self-talk. Just think about, this is an opportunity. What have I learned from this? What can I do better? Or I'm even just saying, I'm proud of myself. I actually did something that I didn't think I would do, or 2 weeks ago I would not have done. And of course, then celebrate your achievements. So if you do it, if you succeed, even if it's tiny, even if it's just the fact that you tried something new, you celebrate that. Allow yourself to feel proud of yourself. And are you the type of person that allows yourself to celebrate? Because I sure as hell am. Like, I know that when I achieve something, even if it's very minor, I always take a moment to feel good about it. And you know, when a lot of people are so hard on themselves, especially people with low self-esteem, and they have this major achievement and they'll be like, oh, well, you know, there was only a couple other people that could have got that award and, you know, they're kind of shit. So it just made sense to go to me. Like, no, like, allow yourself to be proud, because why wouldn't you? Don't be an enemy to yourself. Be an ally to yourself. Anyway, recognize the progress that you've made. It's when you recognize it, it boosts your confidence, it boosts your self-esteem. And when you have high self-esteem, your life is infinitely better. If you have low self-esteem, and I have been there with severely, severely low self-esteem, and God, the difference. I feel like I went from one extreme to the other, and I'm not positive, like, I'm not so positive in the way that it's annoyingly like, ah, happy days, happy life. Like, I probably cried twice last week about something stupid. But it's so much better to be able to look at your life and think, overall, I'm happy with my life. Overall, I'm proud of myself. I'm happy with myself. And, you know, when I look at photos of me when I was 18 to 20 and I was so beautiful and in my peak physical form, and I look back at that now, not in a sense of jealousy, but just thinking, God, I was so beautiful then. And remembering that at that age, I thought I was just so disgusting and I hated myself and I hated the way I looked. I hated my voice. I hated the way I talked. I hated my ears, my nose, my teeth, my mouth, my hair. Like, I hated everything. And even when I was receiving so much external validation and men and boys always approaching me or people telling me, you're pretty, whatever, blah, 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 I did not believe a word of it. I did not buy it. It was just such a negative thing. And the funny thing is, well, the not funny thing is that when I had this low self-esteem, I also thought really negatively about other people and I had dark thoughts about other people. I was always saying like, oh, you're a fucking dickhead for wearing a singlet like that or whatever, what a loser, that kind of stuff. I would never have those thoughts like this. In fact, the first time I had a thought like that happened to me on the weekend when I was camping and we went out for dinner. I know it's not really like camping-esque to go out for dinner, but we did. And I had my pram beside the table, which was on the side of the road. And then someone put their bike next to the pram. And another person tried to walk between the bike and the pram and they couldn't fit. So they had to go on the road. And I said out loud, What fucking idiot would put their bike right there? Like, use your brain. And then I actually felt bad. I was like, I can't believe I just called one. I didn't even think that. I said that out loud to a table of people. And someone like me, I couldn't believe I said it. But the worst thing is that the guy that owned the bike was right behind me and he heard me. And he was like, yeah, you're right, and moved it. I felt so bad. I couldn't believe those words had come out of my mouth and I got instant karma for it. So anyway, that was funny. But anyway, it's just the difference between when you feel good about yourself, you also feel good about others. I so rarely see flaws in people and fixate on them. I'm always more inclined to see the positive. And I think that's why that, you know, when I work with my clients, I can very easily identify their strengths and the positive aspects of their personality. And I build up on that. I focus on that. I work with them on that. And if they're not aware of that, I will bring that to their attention. Like, are you aware that you have such a way, an amazing way of holding conversation or engaging in conversation? Are you aware of this? Blah, blah, blah. Because sometimes if we have low self-esteem, we don't know how to develop those beliefs within ourselves. So be patient, be persistent when you're doing this. Keep an open mind to everything. And yeah, good luck. I am rushing off the end here because I can just see that my toddler is returning home. So I've got about 30 seconds before he starts calling out for me. But what I will say is if you want to work with me one-on-one, you can head onto my website, www.elizajoytherapeuticcoaching.com. I'd love to work with anyone. I've been enjoying work a lot so far. It's been amazing. And if you've liked this podcast or you like the podcast in general, please leave a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on. It's really helpful. I really, really appreciate it. If you don't like it, don't review it. Okay. See you next week. Bye.